And welcome back to WSHIT's Rockin' Cock New Year's Eve, brought to you by Joanne's Chicken and Cheese Bucket Truck. Spend a buck and you're in luck when you get a cluck from our chicken and cheese truck. WSHIT is the only station in town covering New Year's Eve from multiple locations across the Crabapple Township. And of course, we are the only station in town to cover the used tire drop at midnight. There's nothing quite like watching those used tires drop from the roof of Jack's Used Tire and Jack Shack. But first, let's go live to the Frosty Pinecone Retirement Village, where the party is just brewing at 7.01 p.m. Eastern Standard. I am told one of Crabapple's finest senior karaoke stars is just about to perform a brand new, never-before-heard song. Let's go now and listen in to Mrs. Cynthia Lauper as she sings that brand new song at the Frosty Pinecone Retirement Village. What a wonderful message of hope, especially after all of the terrible outbreaks of gonorrhea at the Frosty Pinecone Retirement Village this year. We covered it extensively here on WSHIT. So many victims, so much sex going on. Listen, we'll take a short break. We'll be back after this commercial break. A song about hope. I love it. After this year's terrible outbreak of chlamydia at the Senior Retirement Center, we covered it extensively here on WSHIT. What a wonderful message of hope, especially after all of the chlamydia outbreaks at the Frosty Pine Retirement Center. Oh, man. What a message of love and hope from Cynthia. After all that chlamydia over there at Pinecone Shady. Shit, man, I can't get this right. What a wonderful message of hope and love from Cynthia after what has surely been a terrible year. So much chlamydia, so much sex going on inside of that place. Damn it, Brian. What a message of hope. What a message of love from the Frosty Pinecone Retirement Center. So many penises have been affected by the chlamydia over there. So much carnage. Why did they just Jesus. What a message of hope and love from Cynthia after her body was certainly devastated by all the chlamydia. Someone get them some condoms. God damn it, we'll be back after this commercial break. Brian!
On this episode of the commercial break,
the date was May 24th, 2021. Warm weather and a large vaccine rollout had sent the coronavirus back to the hellhole from which it came, or at least that's what we thought. For a large portion of our quarantine, I had spent time in a place called Clubhouse, a magical cesspool filled with drama, NFT rooms, comedy, and my club, the Comedy Podcast Club. Clubhouse was an application that allowed you to talk with other people inside of a quote-unquote room, much like a party line back in the 1990s, but with some measure of control over who spoke when. In the Comedy Podcast Club, we managed to get Bill Burr and Stephen Wright and Susie Essman. However, like a lot of magical moments, it only lasted so long. I met a lot of interesting characters in there, some that are still friends of mine to this day, and while I don't spend any more time on Clubhouse, we did meet one very interesting human being. He claimed to have worked at Disney for a number of years, where he spent time in the character department. He claimed he was Mickey. He claimed he was Minnie. He even claimed he was Tinkerbell. This guy was too good to pass up. We were going to bring him on, do a wide-ranging interview on what it's like to work for the Walt Disney World Corporation, and supplement that with an additional show where I would share my stories about Disney World, having gone there many, many, many times with my family and otherwise. We recorded the first episode where I shared my experiences. However, the interview never went down as it was supposed to. I'm going to make my own guesses as to why not, but you can probably get the drift that this guy was full of shit in the first place. We stuffed this episode in the can, not being able to produce the more interesting interview episode, but listening back, I thought it was good fodder for TCB The Lost Tape. So here is most of the episode that we recorded as a precursor to the interview with the former Disney employee, TCB The Lost Tapes, part two.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
What do you think of when you hear the following song? When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Mickey!
Oh.
I think of Mickey.
You think of Mickey?
Or Disney.
Oh, you think of Disney?
Are they the ones that came up with it?
No, kidding. It's Walt. It's Walt.
Okay, yes.
It's Walt. It's Walt Disney, of course. He sang the song with Jiminy Cricket.
Yes.
Originally,
yes.
Jiminy and Walt sang that song, and man, will it bring a tear to your eye as you're watching the fireworks. That was from, I don't think it was from a movie. I think it was from, they used to, welcome to the commercial break. And what we're going to do for the next 2 days, we're going to dedicate, and I'd like to do this every year, if you will. I'm going to dedicate this to Walt Disney World specifically.
Okay.
We're going to call it Twisted Disney because, of course, we've got to Twisted Disney because we've got to do it in the commercial break style. I'm just going to tell a bunch of frothy, you know, love stories about Disney.
Right.
But Disney World is something that I admittedly love very much. I've been going there since I was a young child. I've been there many, many, many times, too many times to count. I've spent so much money there. You could probably build a beautiful house in downtown Atlanta for the amount of money we've spent at that fucking place.
And they just opened back up to full capacity.
They just opened back. So. That's why I thought it was a good week to do it. They just opened. Well, they've been Disneyland just opened, but Disney World has been open almost the entire time. I think they closed for about 2 weeks, and that was it.
But it was limited.
It was limited. And man, if we had known what we had known now, if only I had the foresight of aftersight, or whatever you call that. If I only had that, and I would have known that you wouldn't have to stand in line for 4 hours and 50 fucking 6 minutes to get on goddamn Space Mountain, I would have headed down there with a plastic shield all over my body, wrapped the kids in a couple of aluminum foil packets and sent them down their way because people were sending videos when the pandemic came and Disney World had to close because of the restrictions, or they did close, whatever, whether they made the choice or it happened, I forgot.
Yeah.
But they made the choice. When they opened back up with 10% capacity.
Yeah.
Never in the history of ever since like 1978 or whenever the place opened, would you have ever seen lines like that ever.
Yeah.
When I first went there as a child, I don't remember standing in a lot of lines, though my dad told me there were lines. They just weren't 6 hours long. Mm. Now, whenever you go to Walt Disney World, and I'm talking about the one in Florida specifically, whenever you go to Walt Disney World, you can be assured that half of your time is going to be spent planning which rides you're going to spend, where you're going to go to on the day, and the other half is going to be spent standing in line for those rides. You have to figure it out, Disney. Stop letting so many people in the damn park. Right?
Is it like Six Flags where you get the fast pass?
Oh, it's a whole thing that I don't even know if we want to go into. We can go probably talk about this for 6 hours alone. They got a fast pass reservation system that you can start actually making those reservations months in advance if you're staying inside of the resort.
For the ride.
So you can say at 12:55 on April 3rd, even though it's, you know, November of the year before, on April 23rd, I am going to go on Space Mountain.
Uh-huh.
And then at 1:50, I'm going to go on whatever, little, you know, it's a small world and, you know, hang myself in the middle of the boat ride. Or and then you can do a third. But you can only do three per park. Per day.
Oh, okay. Right?
So what Disney has done is essentially they have made the biggest, largest rides, the ones that everyone wants to get on, appointment showings. It's like making an appointment to see a house that's on fucking sale, right? You got to say you're going to be there in a window between, you know, 10:10 and 10:15 or whatever it is. And then you go there and then you have to hope like hell that you can get on any other ride in the park within that 3 hour time period you're going to have left over after standing. And even when you do the fast pass, you still stand in a fast pass fucking line.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
And it costs extra, right?
No, it doesn't cost extra. Oh. Well, when you stay, no, it doesn't cost extra. They have, it's just for management, for essentially what Disney is. Let me tell you something. There are two things. They're a real estate company and they are a logistics company. That's okay. what they are. They're those two things. That's what Disney World does. They figure out how to move, feed, sleep, and, you know, clean tens of thousands of people every hour of the day.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they do. They're a logistics company. How do we do this the most efficiently as possible? And then also they buy real estate.
Yeah.
And they hold it and they make it way more valuable than it ever should be.
Yes.
So congratulations to them. I love Disney.
You do.
But I hate the fucking lines. And I gotta say something to you, Disney. You gotta get your shit together. When I pay $675,000 to send me and my two kids down there for one fucking hour. I got to get on more than one ride.
Yeah.
Last time that I went to Disney World with my wife and my son was Thanksgiving of 2019 with the rest of my family. And do you know how many rides we got on the day we went to the Magic Kingdom? We were down there for 4 days. You know how many rides we got on when we went to the Magic Kingdom?
How many?
Take a guess.
4 days.
4 days, but for the day that we went to the Magic Kingdom, there are four parks down there. We went to one of them called the Magic Kingdom, which is, you know, the crown jewel.
Yeah.
Is where Mickey is.
Yeah.
The castle and the whole nine yards. You know how many rides I got on?
Two. Really?
Two. Fucking two rides.
Wow.
Oh, goddamn day.
Dang. That's a long time.
I paid so much money. Now I get it. It's Thanksgiving. Everybody wants to go, but I paid so much money to go down there and I got on two rides.
Wow.
Two. What do you do with children all day when they, oh my God, we're the coolest place on earth and I can't do anything but stand here in the middle of the line.
Right.
For hours on end.
Wow.
You got to do something about this, Disney. Reduce your crowd size. That's what I think you should do. Mm-hmm. I think you should only let, if you can fit, you know, 200,000 people in Walt Disney, in the whole entire resort, in all four parks on one day, you know what you should do? Fit 100,000 of them in there. Charge us a little bit of upcharge. Go 10% up on the tickets so you can make some money back. Mm-hmm. And then keep the crowd sizes to a minimum.
Yeah, the experience needs to be a part of it.
Spend more. I will stay late. I will suck the dick of the Walt of the Disney. I swear on all that's holy, I will. But I will not do that. If I can only go on two rides when I just paid $400 for a day at your park.
Yeah.
No. Wait.
Wow.
Now,
I really want to be there.
All of that said, Disney is wonderful. Yes. And I truly enjoy it. I enjoy every aspect of Walt Disney World. It's like a magical place where you go.
It is.
And as soon as you get on, it's just unbelievable. There's, you know, 20 square miles. Walt Disney World, the complex, is 20 square miles. It's its own city. It's got its own fire station. It's got its own police department. Well, it's got its own police department. But Orange County Sheriff's Office really provides security really is what it is. It's like a police department, but it's really security. They have their own water department. They have their own lighting department. They have their own electric company. They do everything.
Wow. Down
there. It's just amazing what they have done with this place. And it truly is magical. There's no place else like it on earth. It is manicured. Clean music playing out of, you know, trees in the middle of the forest. Yes. You know, it's a magical place, and it's hard not to be to get engulfed in that magic.
Mm-hmm.
But we are humans, so we do have a tendency to fuck things up.
Yeah,
right. That's just what we do. I started going there when I was a kid. So the first time that I went there, I was probably 6 years old. It's shortly after Epcot opened, 1982. Okay. So I was probably 6 years old. And I went there and I stayed at the Polynesian Resort, which is one of the few hotels that was down there inside of the Walt Disney World complex at the time.
Yeah, I've been to that resort.
Yeah. And I'll just never forget it. It was like the most magical thing that had ever happened to me. And I was baked in the second that I went.
Yeah,
right now
you were in.
Yeah, not to mention my dad's a huge fan and my mom was a huge fan. So we were all huge fans. And so now this becomes the crowning jewel of our vacation lives is to go down to Disney World. And we do many times. Right? Or I would say many times for a family that lived in Chicago, many, you know, 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
But as we became teenagers, now we're living in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We decided that it was time to break away from our parents and go to Disney World on our own.
Set loose
at Disney. Cut loose. So at 17 years old or 16 years old, my dad, Kevin, myself, and a couple of our friends, three, four of our other friends, spring break is coming up and we had never been really spring breakers. My dad would not let us go down to Panama City because that was, you know, a good place to get arrested.
I went down there
pregnant or, you know, fall off a balcony.
Yeah.
All right, so my dad wouldn't let us do shit like that. And, you know, to be honest with you, we weren't all that interested in that. We were more interested in, like, you know, finding meaning in Pink Floyd's The Wall down in the basement on 16 hits of, you know, Jesus Christ LSD.
Right.
You know, because when they put a name like Jesus Christ on the LSD, you know you're in for a ride.
That's good. Yeah.
We were looking for that. I was looking for that Jesus Christ. You got the Jesus Christ, man. You got the Jesus Christ. And it was good acid. Good acid, man.
Good clean.
A good clean acid. Lots of visuals, dude. Are you seeing trails yet? I got the trails, man. I got the trails. Can you taste the metal in the back of your tongue? I got it, dude. I'm seeing trails. I got the wigglies. You got the wigglies? You know, like hair. You feel like your hair is growing? You feel like you're becoming a werewolf? You know, we were experimenting. I won't speak for Kevin, but I was well into my drug experimentation.
Yes.
You know, peyote, LSD, whatever, you know.
Expanding your mind.
Expanding my mind. I think I'd even done cocaine at this point. I mean, like, I was a hooligan, basically. But we got this idea, as spring break is approaching, why don't we go to Disney World? Kevin and I both had jobs, and we both had just enough money, we felt like, to get one hotel room for all of us, and then we could go down to Walt Disney World. Now, we couldn't stay at Walt Disney World, but we could stay maybe at the Embassy Suites, and the Embassy Suites had two rooms per room. There was two bedrooms.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they called the suites, so, right? Yep. Every room is a suite.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had two rooms and then a living room.
Yeah, with the pull-out couch.
That's right. And so we were like, this is...
That'll work.
We can do this.
Yeah.
Right? We got this.
We got this.
And so my dad agreed.
I got it.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to TCB The Lost Tapes as Chrissy and I take a short break between season number 2 and season number 3. I wanted to remind you that you can go to tcbpodcast.com, listen to all the audio, and watch all the video of every single released episode straight from the website. You can also get your free limited edition collectible TCB sticker by going there. Give us your information. We'll tell you how to get the sticker and we'll send it off to you. YouTube.com/The Commercial Break is our YouTube channel. You'll also find content there you can't get anywhere else. Clips every single day of the week, as well as special in the studio editions of The Commercial Break. At The Commercial Break on Instagram, if you'd like to follow us. And 661, best the number 2, yo, 661-237-8296 is where you can text us or leave us a voice message, and we may use that voice message on a future episode. Listen, have a wonderful and happy new year. Chrissy and I and the family members are on the mend from coronavirus, and we'll be back in just a couple of days for season number 3. And now, please take the time to listen to our sponsors and use their specialized URLs or codes if you're in the market for their products or services. Then you can listen to more of me blabbing on about nothing after this commercial break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
So my dad agreed. He allowed us to do it. He said, okay, you kids can go. I'll buy the tickets for you. I'll put my credit card down for the hotel and be safe. Mm-hmm. Have fun. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
We went down there, and within 15 minutes of getting outside the city of Atlanta, we started eating LSD. Oh. And we had a bag full of ecstasy and a bag full of pot. I think someone had mushrooms. And I mean, I don't know what we were thinking. But we went down there and we got to the embassy suites and we checked in. We drove.
Yeah. How long of a drive is that?
Just 6 hours.
From Chicago?
No, from Atlanta. We're living in Atlanta.
That's right. Okay.
So it's just, maybe at the time it was 8 hours because, you know, now we drive faster than we did back then. Back then, the speed limit was 55. Now it's 85 or whatever, 112 or however fast people go.
Yeah.
And so we get down to Orlando and we get to Disney World. And the first thing we do is we check into the hotel. So we go, mm-hmm. we check into the hotel, and everyone has eaten acid or something, right? So we are all like, you can imagine us checking in. Hey. Cool, man. Is that a computer? Sweet. Can we have a bed near the pool? I'm sorry, sir, the pool? Yeah, can you have a bed near the pool? The pool's inside. It's inside. Sweet. They knew right away. They knew. They could probably smell us coming. Right. They were like, let's put these guys up on the top.
Right. Away in the corner.
Away from everybody else. Right. Yeah. And then they probably thought better of it. Like, someone's going to die. If you've ever been to an embassy suites, they're all famous because they have atriums.
Yes.
Like, it's a big square. And then on the outside of the square are the hotel rooms. And then there's a big atrium where you could, huge atrium. And
inside,
it goes, it's just a big open middle. Right.
Yeah.
So we get a hotel room. It's me, Kevin and I, two other guys and two girls. So it's like, six of us all together. And so me and this girl are going to share a bed, and Kevin and this other girl are going to share a bed, and then two of the guys are going to grab the other room, mm-hmm. right? And so we all get changed, and we all get ready, and we go out for the evening. We decide we needed to get something to eat. Why we decided we needed to get something to eat, I have no idea. No one eats on acid. No. That's not what happens. You're not hungry. There's no hunger. No. I don't know if you've done LSD out there, but if you've ever done LSD, here's what happens. You lose everything, basically goes out the window. Like, you have no semblance of time or space. Yeah. If you can even make out shapes or colors, you're doing well. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's just everything, you're in a black hole, basically, with lots of like pretty lights and, things like that. So we go out and have something to eat, upon which all of us order food, but no one eats the food. Yeah, we have now taken more acid, and we are just sitting there staring at us. Meanwhile, I have a tendency to freak out sometimes. So I was like freaking out. I'm like, they know, everybody knows. We all know, everyone knows. Walt Disney World security, they call my dad. I don't even know. I don't want to go to Disney like this. I don't want to go to Disney like this. Now I'm scared that I'm going to ruin my childhood if I go to Disney like this. But we managed to make it through the night, and we go the next day. The first place that we go is to Epcot Center.
Okay.
And Epcot Center is the second park that was built. Mm-hmm. It's the one with the big ball. Everyone's seen it. Yeah, and it's mainly an educational place. At that time, it was just mainly education. They had a couple of rides, but mainly it's these, you walk around the world, right? You walk around the world.
I haven't been to Epcot, so.
Yeah. You walk around there's like a 12 different lands, Japan land, German land, Canada land, whatever.
Okay.
And you walk around this big lake, and around the lake is you walk into another country, essentially, is what you do. That's the back of the park. And in the front of the park, it's all dedicated to like science and nature, right?
Okay.
So they have innovations about, I don't know, about ExxonMobil or something. I'm not even sure what it's about. They have the big ball, which you can go up into. It's a ride where you can just, you go into the ball, and then it takes you up and it takes you down.
Oh, okay.
It's like a dark ride. So you go up all the way to the top of the ball. Meanwhile, the entire time you're going through time. Like, they start you off at the beginning of time, and then
that sounds fun.
It's fun. It's great, right? Yeah. And you move through this timeline all the way up to the present. And then you go backwards all the way down as you move, to further into the future or whatever it is.
Okay.
So, we're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at like 10 in the morning at Epcot Center. And me and the two girls had ridden in one car, and Kevin and some of the guys had ridden in another car. And while we were driving, one of the girls suggests that now would be a good time to take the ecstasy, right?
Okay.
Let's each take two hits of this ecstasy, and that way we'll really have a great day, right? Well, man, did we have a great day that lasted all of an hour that felt like 24 hours. The first thing we did was we went in that goddamn dark ball. And I'm like, I can see my life flashing before my eyes. Which year is it?
Wait, we can't read and write yet. What? You're going through time. So they're like, you know, and then the
prehistoric,
yeah, the
and then
cavemen would write on the walls with, you know, and I was like, who's talking to me? I thought we could read. We don't have televisions. I was freaking out, Holy, like freaking the fuck out, because I honestly thought we were moving through a timeline,
yeah,
of space and time. I thought like this, like it was linear. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So by the time we got down to the bottom of the ball, I am in full frenzy mode. God. And the other two girls are like, you know, they're like, la, 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 la.
Right. You know? I love you. Yeah.
Scarlet begonias under the moonlight. Da, 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 da. You know, they got their flowy dresses on and yeah, they're doing dances, you know. Everybody knows. I know everybody knows. How did I know everybody knows? Because I got two half-naked hippie chicks running around the flower beds of, you know, Disney singing, talking to Jerry Garcia and me crying in the corner. The big ball is going to come off its hinges and just roll on us. Don't you see? It's all coming to an end. It was a mess. We were all the disaster.
Oh my God. What were Kevin and the other two guys?
I don't even know where the fuck they were. Who knows? Well, Kevin and the other guys, they were they got to the park a couple hours or a couple of minutes before us. And we eventually caught up with them. And Kevin is rolling a joint right there in the middle of fucking Epcot. It's 1992. It's not 2021 when, you know, rolling a joint is just another day at the office. When fucking Elon Musk is lighting up with Joe Rogan and no one gives a shit about your weed. Yeah. Back then it was a big deal. It was a felony. You could go to jail for that.
Yes.
Kevin's rolling up a doob on a bench in the middle of Epcot. And I am freaking. I'm like, Kevin, you can't do that. Brian, chill out, man. What's your fucking problem, dude? You're always tripping out. And I'm like, I'm not tripping out. We're going to get arrested. And he's like, there's not even cops in Disney World. It's just security guards. Don't worry about it. No one cares. Apparently, no one did because Kevin just lit up right there. Kevin's got a big, fat fucking Bob Marley. He's like, you can't even smoke in the park, let alone Kevin. I meanwhile, yeah, Kevin. Kevin's got balls of steel. With his hemp necklace and his, you know, hair down to his shoulders. He's got a three hemp chokers on.
He's 3D.
His Birkenstocks that smell like cow nuts. His corduroys. It's 92 degrees outside. He's got corduroys on. The long sleeve shirt.
Smoking a joint.
On a hacky sack that he keeps on breaking out in the line. Chink, chink. Hacky sack. Don't mind if I do. Remember hacky sack?
Yeah, of course.
The fuck was that? Yeah. It's a bean bag. Yeah. It's a bean bag you kicked, and how many times you could
just
kick it.
Just bounce it around.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So the whole time Kevin's like, you know, Kevin's smoking. He's trying to like lighting up this joint. They're passing it around. And meanwhile, I am literally doing like big circles around them, like looking for security guards. I'm like, here comes somebody. Kevin's like, here comes everybody. What do you want to do? But I don't think Kevin has taken the amount of ecstasy.
No.
You have to understand back then, too. Ecstasy was, MDMA was not a, there was synthetic MDMA. But what really what ecstasy was back then was pressed heroin and speed. That's what it was. It was a speed ball. It really wasn't like a, like what you think of today, like the chemical MDMA. People would pass off speedball, which again is a, you know, like amphetamine and some kind of opiate derivative that you would put together along with some kind of hallucinogen in it, and then so you just were really fucked if you and it was a much different thing back then than it is now, right, where there's, you know, it's 52% pure, 92% pure, and it makes you feel it. After this whole incident with Kevin in the joint, I was totally fucking freaked,
yeah,
right? And I'm sure I had taken three or four hits off the joint too. So
yeah.
Now I'm fully engulfed
really,
and like, yeah.
Yeah, kicked it in. Yeah.
Like, you know, in China, they have the big dragons and they did the whole thing,
yes,
you know? Okay, with the sticks on the, you know, ting, 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 da, la, 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 la. So, you know, the big ceremonial dance that they do.
Right.
And so they do this every hour on the hour in Epcot. And as we're walking around and these girls are, you know, flowy dresses and, no bras on. We go to China and they have one of these things, right? Uh-huh. With the dragons and they're doing a show. And I am like, I think the dragon is eating me. I'm on the ground like, At which point, some mother who obviously understood what I was going through, motherly figure comes up and puts her hand on my shoulder and is like, son, are you okay? And I'm like, I think so. And she's like, did you take anything today? And I was like, some orange juice.
Right.
And she's like, okay, I got you. Do you want to come get out of the sun and get, you know, get cooled off? And I was like, that's a really good idea. Yeah. And so she bought me a bottle of water. She brought me a bottle of water and she sat me down in this, like, in the, you know, and she sat and talked to me for a few minutes.
Yes. That was
which
nice.
Calmed me down. Yeah. But as soon as I got up off the bench, I was right back to freaking out. And so I went to the ladies, who now one of them was starting to kind of freak out a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
And so I, just being around people in the hot sun and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And so we said, we made a collective decision. Let's get out of here as quickly as we possibly can without being noticed. So now it became like a mission to walk through all these other human beings all the way to the front of the park and out to the car.
Okay.
There's only one problem.
You didn't have a car?
We don't know where the fuck we're parked. That parking lot is 650,000 cars. And no one thought to find out
right.
which row we were in.
Oh, God.
None. We had no idea.
No.
We walked out to that parking lot and all of us realized at the same time, shit. Do you remember where we parked? No, I don't. Was it to the right of that? I don't know.
Was
it to the left of the monorail, to the right of the monorail?
That's like a Seinfeld episode. I don't know. Episode.
It is a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
And so we began to walk in endless circles around this parking lot, trying to find this fucking Saturn Mirage or whatever the fuck she was driving. And we couldn't find it. It wasn't there. So at one point, a Disney security truck comes up.
Oh, great.
Right? Bam, bam. You know. Beep, beep. Hey, kids. Hey, guys. You know? And I was like, oh, shit. We're all going to Disney jail.
Yeah.
we're going to the clink. Mickey's going to rape us. We're going to get little mouse sticks in our asses. And he's like, hey, guys. You know, he jumps out of the truck and he's like, come on over. You know, he's got it pulled over. The light's going in the whole nine yard.
Yeah.
And so I think we kind of sheepishly walk over and he's like, hey, guys, how you doing? And we're like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I need my mommy. Right. I want my mommy. And he says, listen, I understand. You know, his mouth's all big because I'm tripping. He's like, I understand. And he's like, what are you guys doing? Like, everything's like, it's all cartoonish because I was like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, we're looking for our car. And he goes, oh, where'd you park? We don't know. Did you park at Epcot? We don't know. And he says, don't worry, we're going to help you find your car. And he asks what kind of car it is. And he finds the car.
Really?
He found the car.
They had some kind of a system because I'm sure you weren't the only ones that did that.
No,
too.
Of course not. You know, yeah. We were exactly 6.5 feet from the fucking car the entire time, right? That's where we were. We were like 2 rows over. So he's like, you know, he waves us over, beep, beep. The car, you know, I found a car. The car fitting the description, right? Car. And so we go over there and he goes, okay, kids, you need any other help? Are you going very far? Do you need any help getting home? Do you want to take a cab or something? And one of the girls was luckily, you know, she, no, we got it. And so he's okay, goodbye. And we're like, okay, goodbye. And then we go to unlock the door and realize that we don't have the keys. They're actually locked in the car.
Oh my God.
In the ignition.
What? In the ignition.
That had been running.
What?
The entire time.
No.
Yes.
What?
So now, not only, so this is like,
how
we're talking about
happen?
3 hours because it's a Saturn fucking Mirage in 1992. There's no auto, they have automatic locks, but you can lock the doors, right? You can just push the thing down and lock the door.
Yeah, they just forgot to turn it off.
We left the car on, the battery died, we are out of gas, and the keys were locked in the car. We had no idea what to do. We didn't want to call the security guard because we knew he knew when something
this
was up.
Day.
Yeah, this day just goes on and on forever. And so the guys make their way back and they realize that now we're in real distress, right?
Yeah.
We're hot. We're sweaty. We're sitting on the back of this car. We've gone nowhere since he left us 2 hours ago, right? And he's like, what's going on, guys? And we're like, nothing. We're out of gas. We need a charge. We're high on ecstasy. We got to make it to San Clemente to see the dead. And he's like, and by the way, one of the girls who was with us was like, don't worry, we can just camp out here all night.
Oh,
and I
God.
Was like, "What? Yeah, but what type of problem is that going to solve?
Right.
I don't know, but it'll be morning. So they eventually, without without any drama whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
They got us a can of gas. They popped open the thing and they charged the car.
Oh,
and they
that's
did all
nice.
That. Yeah. So now, but now we've been out in the parking lot for like 5 hours. Right. Right. And when we get in the car, the girl that we were with, she just couldn't drive. She just was not in the right mental frame to drive. And I certainly was not either, because my freak out had gone from bad to worse.
I bet.
I was now just like crawled up in a ball on the top of the car. I was like, I don't want to do anything. I want to go nowhere right now.
Yeah.
And so what we ended up doing was we just turned the car on, let the air conditioning run.
Right.
And we all just kind of sat there for a couple of hours until we came down listening to Grateful Dead music. And every 30 minutes, you see that security guard. Burr, burr, burr. We'd be like, and he'd wave back to us because he knew.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, just let him come down. It's going to be a hell of a headache when they get down, but you know, let them come down.
Oh,
this went on for 4 days.
That was day one.
That was day one. Oh. This went on for 4 days.
It did. Every day.
It did. I swear to God. One night in Epcot, we went back to Epcot because Epcot is the coolest place. You know, if you can manage to, you know, hold your shit together,
yeah.
Epcot is the coolest place because of all the lights and there's a big fireworks show and there's, you know, water and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And so one night, the thing is that Disney, at least they wouldn't at the time, they had a policy that there was a closing time,
yeah.
But it was kind of a suggestion.
Mm.
They weren't going to kick you out if you were still hanging around.
Okay.
They just figured eventually you'd leave.
Yeah.
And by
the rides close?
The rides close. Yeah. Everything closes, right? Everything closes and sections of the park eventually get roped off.
Yeah.
But the truth is that, you know, at that time, at least in 19, whatever it was, 1992, no one was going to fucking bother you, right?
Yeah.
They were just like, well, eventually they'll leave.
Yeah.
What are they going
to
do?
What are they
going
to do? There's nothing
and
left to do.
We're going to be here all night, so it doesn't really matter anyway, right?
Right?
There's, you know, Disney World doesn't close.
Yeah.
It's just there's times when people are in the parks with the workers and times when the workers are just there by themselves doing whatever they're doing.
Right.
And so one night, we purposefully kind of tried to avoid all of the security and the workers so we could just hang out there because Kevin wanted to roll a doobie and get smoking again. Kevin was on a mission, just get as high as he could all the time inside. So, you know, so we did this.
The so you park, stayed after hours.
The park might have closed at 10 and we were there at 12. I mean, we have been there for 2.5 hours. At one point, literally
just
hiding behind
around.
A bench.
Yeah.
Just walking around.
Yeah.
Being unbothered. By the time midnight rolled around, there were very few people left in the park, except for the occasional employee who was either leaving the shift or going to a shift, right? And they really
Cleaners.
Didn't bother us. And there were security guards, but we didn't really see them. And if we saw them, we were too high to see them, so it didn't really matter. But the lights were still on and the music was still playing. I mean, most of the lights were still on.
The music was still playing.
Music plays 24 hours a day and never shuts off. At least that's my experience, right?
And you've tested it.
And I've tested it. Yes. We were there till 12:30, Holdley. We were in that place all by ourselves, just walking around. Now, we couldn't ride anything. Yeah, so really, at the end of the day, there's no point. I can't ride anything, can't do anything. But we were there having fun, getting loaded. Just, we defiled Disney.
Yeah.
This entire story that I had made up in my head that Disney World is this magical place where things like drugs don't enter into the picture, right?
No,
I defiled in
one trip.
Yeah. In one vacation, one trip, I managed to spend 4 days anything but sober, fucking Mickey all over the place. Or hi. Epcot's got this. They used to have this. It was called Illuminations, you know, Reflections of the World.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, General Electric and Walt Disney World's Epcot Center present Reflections, Illuminations of the World, or whatever it was. So one time, my little brother and I were there. And, you know, they make these announcements, like, starting within the hour that this is going to happen.
Okay.
You know, all around the park, the musical shut off and it comes on loud. Ladies and gentlemen, in exactly 55 minutes, General Electric presents Reflections of Illuminations. Grab your small children by the hand as the lights and walkways will be dark. You know, and all, you know.
Yeah.
Fireworks may be loud. You know, get your seats early. This whole thing, this whole announcement
right.
they go through, right?
Right.
And it's like, for Reflections of Illuminations. They keep on saying Reflections of Illuminations in this guy's weird deep voice. So I was like, ladies and gentlemen, KY Jelly and Walt Disney World present Reflections of Erections.
12 countries, 12 hard cocks. Cocks from around the world. Reflections of erection.
Why does everything go back to penises? Why does everything for men go back to penises? It just
does. That's a whole other brain.
Have you been to Disney World?
I have once. No, one twice. Time. Twice.
How old were you?
I was in seventh grade. Uh-huh. And that was fun. And then I went another time. I was down there for a conference, and Jeff happened to be down there with the girls. And so we met up. I went over to the Polynesian. We watched the fireworks and had some dinner. And
was he staying at the Polynesian?
He was.
Yeah. That's a great place to go.
It was. Yeah. It's a beautiful hotel. He had taken the girls. But that's the only time. Really just once.
Did you stay with him at the time?
No, I was staying at my conference.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So we went and had dinner and met up. But yeah.
What a magical and wonderful
I want to go back.
Now, I'm super excited about what happens now that I have children.
Yes.
Because I think seeing it through their eyes is going to make this experience a whole other level of magic, right? Now I am adult and I know a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, and I was at one point so infatuated with it that now I know everything about it. I've been on the backstage tours. I paid the extra money to go down onto the tunnel.
How many times do you think you've been?
50?
Really?
Yeah. 50? Maybe 50?
Okay.
Yeah, certainly probably 10 when we were children, probably maybe 10, maybe a little bit less.
So multiple times in 1 year.
Yeah, but you got to understand, multiple times in 1 year. Astrid and I have been 6 times, and we haven't even been married for 5 years.
I know you guys have been a lot.
I know, we've been a lot. So there's just that alone. But then every other year, at least, I've made a trip there or two.
Okay.
And then that's not even counting the occasional like night or day that I'll spend there on the way up or on the way down. Like one time I went on a cruise.
Oh, okay.
And we drove down to Miami to catch the cruise ship, and we spent, you know, we had no intention of going there. But anytime you smell Orlando, like you get within 300 miles, you're like, well,
Disney.
Gotta go to Disney World. Yeah. It's just like a magnet. It pulls you in, you know? And so, we ended up going for 2 days before and 2 days after the cruise.
Okay. Yeah.
We ended up spending time there. And then that's what Astrid and I do. You know, we vacation a lot in Northeast Florida, and then we'll go, it's only 2 hours
down
there.
Yeah, it's right there.
And only 2 hours back.
Does she love it too?
She does. She's a big fan. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's only 2 hours and $2,500 for the day. We might as well go. You know, and then we get to ride two rides. It's a bunch of fucking horse shit, man. I'll tell you that much. But I don't think that I love Disney World, but I'm not an apologist for Disney, because I know that there are lots of things that Disney does that I don't approve of. And one of them is absolutely packing the place. You got to imagine that if they loosened it up a little bit, like if they made it a little bit more, a little less crowded, and people could get doing things, the people would be in a better mood.
Yeah.
They would spend more money and they would do more things. But that doesn't seem to make any sense to Disney. They just want to pack as many human beings in there. I have been in that park for New Year's Eve, New Year's Days, Christmas Eves. I have been there when the parks, within the hour of opening, have been shut down due to capacity.
Really?
Which is insane. That's like 100,000 people have come in the front door in an hour, and now they're going to shut it down.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
What would you do if it got shut down?
I was in the park. Yeah.
If
you're not there and you had made your reservation, really? Whatever the deal is, right? You are shit out of luck. You probably came from across the world, across the country, spent all this money to stay at all of these hotels. And it's not, they could control this a little bit better if all the people stayed on the property and they knew where they were staying and when they were staying.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there are thousands of hotels outside of the Walt Disney World complex that also have people that are coming into those hotels just to stay at Walt Disney World or just to be at Walt Disney World, it's hard to predict, I understand, when people want to come in. But maybe you just have to limit capacity. Maybe you have to have a reservation system where people tell you when they're going to come and what time and which park they're going to be in. And that way you can accurately predict. And then, you know, you save a few for walk-ins, you know, save a little space for walk-ins. But at the end of the day, you've got to start servicing the people who are paying so much freaking money to get in that door. Or people are going to stop paying so much freaking money to get in that door.
Yeah, you should tell Disney this.
I am telling Disney this right now. Okay, that's it for episode number 2 of TCB, The Lost Tapes. Listening back to that, I realized just how far the show has come. It was a different animal in the beginning of 2021 than it was at the end. That's for sure. Listen, I've got a favor to ask.
If you could, take some time and leave us a review and a rating on your favorite podcast publisher or at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Subscribe, comment on your favorite video. It helps us out by growing the audience. And growing the audience tells us we're headed in the right direction and possibly to create even more content for you. So if you have a moment and you could do that or drop us a line to let us know how we're doing, we certainly would appreciate it. Go to tcbpodcast.com. You know the drill. You can watch all the video, listen to all the audio, every single episode right there for you for free. Also, get your TCB collectible sticker. We'll tell you how. You tell us where to send it on the website, tcbpodcast.com. Okay, have a wonderful and safe new year. And until next time, we must say best to you out there in the podcast universe. We love you. And bye.
The commercial break. New episodes on Tuesdays and now Fridays. New YouTube clips drop daily at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Visit tcbpodcast.com for access to our entire media library. Follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram. Each episode is written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley, with additional content provided by Tina Connell.